Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. These are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The sons of Judah were Er, Onan, and Shelah. These three was born to him by Bathshua the Canaanitess, and Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so he put him to death. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bore him Perez and Zerah. Judah had five sons in all. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul, and the sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Calcol, and Dara, five of them in all. The sons of Carmi was Achar, the troubler of Israel, who violated the ban. The sons of Ethan was Azariah. Now the sons of Hezron, who were born to him, were Jeremiel, Ram, and Chelubai. And Ram became the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab became the father of Nashon, leader of the sons of Judah. Nashon became the father of Salma, Salma became the father of Boaz. Boaz became the father of Obed, and Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse became the father of Eliab, his firstborn, then Abinadab the second, Shimei the third, Nathaniel the fourth, Radai the fifth, and Ozem the sixth, David the seventh. And their sisters were Zariah and Abigail, and the three sons of Zariah were Abishai, Joab, and Azahel. And Abigail bore Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether the Ishmaelite. Now Caleb, the son of Hezron, had sons by Azubah his wife, and by Jeroeth, and these were her sons, Jeshur, Shobab, and Ardon. When Azubah died, Caleb married Ephrah, who bore him Hur, and Hur became the father of Uri, and Uri became the father of Bezalel. Afterward, Hezron went into the daughter of Machir, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 60 years old, and she bore him Segub. And Segub became the father of Jair, who had 23 cities in the land of Gilead. But Geshur and Aram took the towns of Jair from them, and Kenath and its villages, even 60 cities. All these were the sons of Machir, the father of Gilead. And after the death of Hezron and Caleb Ephrath, Abijah, Hezron's wife, bore him Asher, the father of Tekoa. And the sons of Jeremiel, the firstborn of Hezron, were Ram, firstborn, then Buna, Oren, Ozem, and Ahijah. And Jeremiel had another wife, and his name was Atara, and she was the mother of Onam. And the sons of Ram, the firstborn of Jeremiel, were Maaz, Jamin, and Eker. And the sons of Onam were Shammai and Jada, and the sons of Shammai were Nadab and Abishur. The name of Abishur's wife was Abihail, and she bore him Abhan and Molid. The sons of Nadab were Seled and Apan, and Seled died without sons. The son of Ephem was Ishi, and the son of Ishi was Shishan, and the son of Shishan was Ila. And the son of Jada, the brother of Shammai, were Jether and Jonathan, and Jether died without sons. And the sons of Jonathan were Peleth and Zaza, and these were the sons of Jeremiel. Now Shishan had no sons, only daughters, and Shishan had an Egyptian servant whose name was Jarha. And Shishan gave his daughters to Jarha, his servant, in marriage, and she bore him Attai. And Attai became the father of Nathan, and Nathan became the father of Zabed. And Zabed became the father of Ephel, and Ephel became the father of Obed, and Obed became the father of Jehu. Jehu became the father of Azariah. Azariah became the father of Helez, and Helez became the father of Elasa. And Elasa became the father of Sisme, and Sisme became the father of Shalom. Shalom became the father of Jechemiah, and Jechemiah became the father of Elishama. Now the sons of Caleb, the brother of Jeremiel, were Misha, the firstborn, who was the father of Ziph. And his son was Mereshah, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, and Tappuah, and Rechem, and Shema. And Shema became the father of Rahem, the father of Jorkeam, and Rechem became the father of Shammai. The son of Shammai was Maon, and Maon was the father of Bethzer. And Ephah, Caleb's concubine, bore Haran, Moza, and Gazez. And Haran became the father of Gazez. And the sons of Jadai were Regem, Jotham, Geshen, Pelet, Ephah, and Shaph. And Makkah, Caleb's concubine, bore Sheber and Tirhana. She also bore Shaph, the father of Madmana, Shiva, the father of Machbena, and the father of Gibeah, and the daughter of Caleb was Aksa. And these were the sons of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, were Shobal, the father of Kirith-Jearim, Salma, the father of Bethlehem, and Hareth, the father of Beth-Gadar. And Shobal, the father of Kirith-Jearim, had sons, Hareth, half of the Manahathites, the families of Kirjim and Ithrites, the Puthites, the Shumanites, the Mishrites, and these came from Zorathites and the Eshtalites. The sons of Samor were Bethlehem, and the Netophathites, Atroth, Beth Joab, and the half of the Manahathites, and the Zorites. The families of scribes who lived at Jabez were the Tirathites, the Shemethites, the Sukkathites. Those were the Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the son of the house of Rechab. Amen. It's going to be like this for a little while. So just so you guys understand what's happening and where we're going through all this. The reason why is, remember, Ezra wrote these chronicles. And Ezra had a very specific purpose that he had in mind. And he wanted to institute, basically bring Israel back. And so part of that is reinstating the law, or I should say reinvigorating the law back to its people. Part of that was the idea of religious and racial purity. And so remember when I talked about it a couple weeks ago, that he forbid mixed marriages when he came in into power. And Ezra was able to do this. He was a scribe, but he was the right hand of the Persian king. And he had received so much favor. You can read all this in the book of Ezra. We'll get to that, you know, maybe next year. And so what happens is, because he has so much favor, he's able to go back and leave basically Babylonian captivity and go back and restore temple worship, restore the priesthood, restore basically the nation of Israel once again. He has his call from God. And so he'll spend the next six chapters or so going through a very, and in fact, it's probably the most accurate genealogy of them all. And you'll note, I mean, if you compare all these genealogies, there's different ones, and he even seems to give them a different name at times, like Akar, who's actually Achan, we know in the Bible, but Akar means troubler, and so he rightfully names him more for their character in that regard. And so you can see some of the differences in genealogies are related to that idea that Ezra is writing a chronicle. He's writing a narrative more than anything else about the people of God becoming the people of God again. And so we'll just have to bear with my really bad pronunciation of names for the rest of this week, unfortunately. But it is this idea, the goal of maintaining racial and religious purity. That's what he's really after in this place. Racial and religious purity, because as a keeper of the law, he also recognizes in some way that the Messiah is coming through. And you can see that actually in chapter 2, we see all the sons, sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. We get that. And then, but then who does he start the genealogy with? Who's a central character? Who is it? It's Judah. Why? Judah, if you look, he's 1, 2, 3, 4th in line here. But he gets the first billing. His sons get the first billing. Why? Because I think Ezra has received enlightenment and received revelation from God that the Messiah is going to come through the tribe of Judah. And so he specifically places him in the foremost. Because remember, he's sharing a narrative here in this regard. And so Judah takes first place in this genealogy regarding to sons, because that eventually leads to the Son of God, the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next chapter, it goes in further, and then we get to the family of David. And you see that Ezra is fine-tuning these genealogies to point to the Messiah. What the law could not accomplish and fail to do in many ways, because I should say man's keeping of the law, we failed in that way, and so we need to have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how these genealogies are laid out in this place. And this can be a really short devotional here today. I think one thing you'll notice when you go through this is that in this genealogy, there seems to be people that kind of come out of nowhere, that sometimes are not even part of the original seed of Israel. And so God's intent in many ways was not just to have a pure blood. But God's intent was to show his faithfulness to all generations, that the purposes of God will be established. Now, it may happen through someone like Ruth that comes out of nowhere. It may happen through some prostitute that's laid out. It may come through all different means, but God's faithfulness and that his purposes will come through, that he'll be faithful regardless of people's unfaithfulness in this regard. You know, Proverbs says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. And there's something about God's purposes will come out. And I think one of the great readings in the way we read the genealogies is to show the faithfulness of God laid out in these people. And then sometimes random people coming in from other tribes and random people coming in from other nations to continue this line, this seed of God, to bring about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that speaks to us in some way in that regard that, you know, going back to just the faithfulness of God, that there may be plans and things that are maybe not happening right now. At our men's retreat this past weekend, Pastor Benjamin gave a great message basically about promises unfulfilled, you know, particularly healing and these type of things, to give us a better grid to understand those kind of things. And by the way, all the men's retreat sermons are online, and so even the ladies can listen to them and glean from the sermons that came out. And you know, the reality that it's happened. It's just that we have not yet, I should say, we have not yet realized, or it's not circumstantially, is not changed, but in faith it's happened. And so in this regard, when we think about that, and we think about things that happen in our lives, that maybe the promises of God are not yet in our hand, and that's why we're people of faith. You know, Mark says, if you pray and you believe that you've received it, he says it should be given to you. Notice the tense in Greek is past tense, and well, in English as well. And so it's past tense. And he says you basically act like you received it. That's faith. And then he says it'll be given to us. And so we've always had it, but then the circumstances now weigh to that conclusion as well. So let's close our eyes. When we think of the genealogy, let's think of the faithfulness of God. Even you being here. You know, I had lunch with Pastor Benjamin yesterday, and you know, he was just asking me about the staff, and it was crazy. I can sit there and kind of chronicle, you know, every person that came on staff and, you know, what they were doing, how God led them. You know, some of them, you know, got called into a pastoral ministry that didn't have any desire whatsoever. And you see God's faithful hand upon them, leading them into, you know, this position and this job. And just think about the faithfulness of God in your life. And, you know, honestly, it was a real joy just to share with him how God's changed this person, you know, how God changed this person and moved in this person's life. You know, and that's where they are right now. You know, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we worship him, as we hallow his name in a moment. But just how faithful God's been in your life. I know that we're reading these names, and can you imagine how many thousands of stories of God's faithfulness is added to each person's name here? How even their name being written in this book is really a testimony of thousands of stories of the goodness of God. He is so faithful. And so this morning, let's worship him for his faithfulness. Sitting here in Change a little bit of how we do our prayer times, and maybe just one little change, and you know, reflecting on the Lord's Prayer, how you know it starts with praise, and you know, we talk about God and we lift Him up before we talk about ourselves and these things. And so, you know, usually I lead you in a time of kind of introspection, but instead we're going to change it around after this worship time of just really praising God for His faithfulness, which would be today's theme. And so let's spend a moment and let's really hallow His name. Let's lift up the name of Jesus, the beauty of God, and His faithfulness. And let's just thank Him for His faithfulness. So let's lift Him up for the way He's been faithful. You know, He's probably saved our lives so many times we don't even know it. I can't wait to get to heaven when I found out that how many times the angels have covered me and how many times the Lord has save me and just move me, you know, even a second away from disaster. And so let's just lift Him up right now before we talk about God, talk to Him about our needs. Let's just begin to lift Him up right now. Let's hallow His name. Now let's just step into that place of intercession and let's pray for others. Before we pray for ourselves, let's pray for others. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancers. Let's pray for God's healing through their life. Let's pray particularly for Calvin. Apparently he's got some infection in his foot, dealing with kind of the immunotherapy he's been going with. Let's ask God to just break that off him right now and just cover our friends. And let's pray with faith today. Pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for God's healing, and let's pray for the Lord to reveal Himself. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our sister as she looks for work. And let's pray for God's open doors and provision. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for Hong Kong. And let's lift up our government. Let's lift up our chief executive and ask the Lord to use her and use the government to really reign righteously here. Let's pray against the wealth gap here. Let's cry out for revival here, especially among the churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, especially Shanty's having their Christmas outreaches happening. Let's just cover those coming up soon. Let's pray for Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. Let's continue to pray for Hong Kong students that are tempted to commit suicide and domestic helpers, that their rights would be established here and they would be cared for by their employers. And let's just lift up Hong Kong. Let's ask God's favor upon the city. Let's cover our staff right now, and let's ask God's hand to be upon us, and that we would serve the Lord with all of our heart, that we would be of sound mind and body to really engage God and to destroy the works of the devil over this house. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, the welcoming and the baristas. Let's pray for our volunteers and our leaders that they would really welcome people with the love of God, every person that comes to this place. Let's pray over our worship and sound and AV teams. Let's pray for our leaders, our worship leaders. Let's pray for our sound peoples. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and a diligence to serve God and give God our best, excellence in what we do. But, you know, more than just the technical things, the real heart to really bring God's presence down to us. Let's pray for House Church tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Opie Road, Soho, and Westville. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead our conversations. This week might be a bit challenging since half the guys heard one set of sermons and half the church heard another. Let's just pray that God would just really synchronize and that you know, both services and groups would really be able to learn from each other. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide tonight. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, God. You're so faithful over our lives, God. God, there's not enough books in the world, God, that could tell of how faithful you are to each one of us, Lord. God, novels could be written about every day of our lives, Lord, and how good you are to us. And so we praise you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, you are faithful over Egypt, or I'm sorry, over Israel, God. God, and now you'll be faithful over the church. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We love you. We bless you, God. And so just close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.